But I think we'll start out with a very familiar passage in the Romans chapter 1 that we read often. In verse 16, the Apostle Paul, now we think about this time back when the Bible was written. Rome was the kind of the capital of the world at that time. And of all places that really needed the gospel preached would have been in Rome. I know there were Christians there. We find that out later, and especially if we look in chapter 28 of Acts when the Apostle Paul was taken there before his death. But we notice in chapter 1 and verse 16, a favorite passage, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." In the first society, especially those who were religious, would have been the Jews. And those who were probably not were Greeks, considered Gentiles. And here he says, Paul does, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That meant he was willing to teach it and preach it anywhere. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. So that should make us want to think a little more about the gospel. What is the gospel, and how is it that it has so much power? And what is salvation? I think in our society and world, most do not know anything about it. They don't know what it is. They don't know what its power is. All you have to do is watch the news on TV and you can figure that out real quick. Huh? It's almost at the point you wonder whether you ought to even be watching the news. But we know several things that we could say about it. Let's go first of all to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 3 there through 5. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." What's the gospel is hid from those who are lost? They haven't heard it. They don't know what it is. They don't have any idea of what it means. And the sad part we see also, I think, is young people growing up. They're not taught. They're not instructed in it, and they need to be. You know, I taught over at Stratford in the Bible class. I was teaching there on Thursday. I taught 2 Thessalonians. That was one of the subjects we taught. I want you to notice in 2 Thessalonians a moment. I've oftentimes used this scripture, but I want you to listen to it and read it. This is in chapter 1. And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the world and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. Paul, writing to the church, the Christians that were Thessalonians, who were being persecuted and disturbed, this is what Paul wrote in the letter. Here he says, to you who are troubled, when Jesus comes and revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, what? He's going to come in flaming fire. And what's he going to do? He's going to take vengeance on them that, what? Know not God. How many in Fairgrove do you think there are that does not know God? How many are they in the state of Missouri, do you think, that do not know God? How many in the United States would you say that do not know God? How many in the world today would you say there are that know not God? Well, think about it even further. He also says those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are some who think they know God, but have not obeyed the gospel. So we need to have a better understanding of what the gospel is. We need to have a good understanding of what the gospel is, so that we can understand and know it and do it. I'd like for you to turn, if you don't mind, to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, right next to that other one. We were in the fourth chapter. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's look at the first three verses. Here again, the Apostle Paul is the writer. He's writing to Christians at the church. Listen to what he says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, as we think about the gospel, what is the gospel? The gospel is the fact that Jesus was sent to this earth. He died on the cross. He shed his blood there, and he was put in a tomb, buried, and he was resurrected alive out of that grave. We need to understand all of that and believe all of that. And of course, there is an obedience to that too. I want you to notice very closely to the book of Galatians, the first chapter. In the first chapter of Galatians, look at verse 7. Let's start with verse 6. So I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. What's happening here? There are people being taught there's another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we say it before, so say I again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. You know, there's only one gospel. And that's the one that we must be taught and obey. There is not but one. And sadly, there are people who preach other kinds of gospel. And what you have to do to be saved. You know, I was, as in our Bible class, he was talking about the Psalms. You know, there's one of the Psalms I want you to look at, just kind of here. I want you to look at the first verse of chapter 4:14. Listen to this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. My friend, our world is full of them. Huh? There are those that don't believe there is a God. We could read that whole thing. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. This is when, back in the Old Testament days of David, when he couldn't find, they got to the point there was just not anyone that knew God. Kind of makes you think of our day and time, doesn't it? I would like to go on into that a little further, but I won't. You know, let's go to the gospel and kind of look at what the Bible teaches concerning the gospel. As we've pointed out, we need to see what it is. You know, when Jesus was preparing to go back into heaven after his crucifixion, here he, with his 11 apostles, in Matthew chapter 28, notice what he says there in verse 15. 28:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You want to know what the gospel is for? It's for every creature. Notice verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We see it starts with believing Jesus as he's going back to heaven. What does he say? Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice also he goes ahead and says in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. This, of course, was the miracles of the apostles. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and wonders. They went forth and did that in the first century. You know, the church had a lot of growth in the first century in the world because they went everywhere in the world preaching the gospel. I've got another lesson I preach on that. But let's notice a little further, if we don't mind. Let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, of course, carries with it their going forth and preaching. And we have a lot of sermons that we could look at in the book of Acts, starting with chapter 2, but we're not going to go there just yet. Let's go to chapter 11. In chapter 11 of Acts, I want you to look here. Look at verse 14. And then we'll back up. In verse 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Now, what does that sound like? Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? We need to hear something, don't we? Some teaching. And that is, we need to hear that gospel so that we know what it is and understand it. You know, we'll go over to chapter 14 a minute of Acts. In chapter 14, look at verse 1. And it all came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake they that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. Here had the results of the preaching and the teaching of the apostles in the first century and others. He even went in a synagogue and preached it. They needed to hear it. Notice verse 11. So a long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Here we see that first century, then people don't understand that they had special gifts along with that as they went forth preaching and teaching. But you know, again, let's back up to what we looked at earlier, 1 Corinthians 15, and let's look at it again. 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at that again. You can't get away from that when you're trying to describe. Look again there, the first four verses. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, if, condition there, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you the first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and then he arose the third day according to the Scriptures. All the gospel contains the facts of his death, burial, and resurrection. And they're to be taught so people understand them and obey them. You know, there's something that is promised with that gospel. And I want to go to Acts here as we go to the first sermon that was preached. In Acts chapter 2, you know, we have the first sermon preached that is recorded in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, look at verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye who dwell in Jerusalem, be it known this unto you, and hearken to my words. So here what is recorded then is the preaching that he does, and he goes back to that Old Testament and he covers all of those scriptures of prophecy concerning what God was going to do. And all those prophecies had to do with the fact that he was going to send Jesus to this earth. And Alan spoke of one when we took of the communion, and that was Isaiah 53. But we have a prophecy even in Genesis concerning Christ going to come. God told Satan, seed of woman would bruise his head. What was that? As a prophecy of Christ. And we have them all through. Well, what we see in Acts chapter 2, Peter goes over a lot of the Old Testament. And to come down, he has convinced these Jews, a lot of them anyway. Let's look in verse 35. Until I make thy foes thy footstool. That was also. Now let's go to verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a day. It was the day of Pentecost in the Old Testament. There were Jews that was collected from all over and went there to worship. And as they were doing so, the apostles had received the Holy Spirit and told to preach the gospel, and they stood up to preach. Well, first off, you might ask the question, how come there were so many Jews there? Do you ever think of that? Why are there so many Jews there the day of Pentecost? Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy just a moment. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Look at verse 16. Chapter 16, verse 16. Three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which shall he shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord that thy God which hath given thee. The Jews that worship God was in Jerusalem. That feast of weeks is the same thing as the new feast of Pentecost. That's the reason so many heard the gospel that day. The apostles stood up and preached it. Peter's sermon recorded. And we see that as a result of many of them that knew the Old Testament, recognized what Peter was preaching, and they were pricked in their hearts. And they want to know what to do. And Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And 3,000 obeyed the gospel. And then we see, of course, later in 47, that God added to the church daily those that are being saved. So what do we see then? When we preach the gospel, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must believe that he was sent to this earth, and that he come, and that he died on the cross, shedding his blood for us. We must believe that and then repent of our sins, turn, make a different kind of life, and then be baptized for remission of sins, and then rise up to walk a new life. I know there are a lot more I could preach on this, but there's one more passage I'd like to, for you to turn to, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want you to notice this is Paul was worried about the church at Corinth because they had drift off and started listening to other things and practicing other things. So much so, even one married his father's wife. But anyway, I want you to drop on down to what I'm in the sixth chapter. I want you to drop down to verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our Lord. Here we see he talks about all the sins that they had done. They were a part of that. But you cannot do those things and inherit the kingdom of God. Our world is involved in all of those. You read that list and they're involved in it. They need to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and obey the gospel, and repent of those things and move into serving him. Now, my time's up. But anyway, the gospel is so important, we need to preach it to everybody. It is needed everywhere. If you have anyone here that wants to obey the gospel, we're here to help you do that. We'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.